Hello, dear Real Life Radio listeners. Chad here, and we are just about to embark on another English learning journey with myself, Ethan, and a very special guest, Emma from English. And Emma was so kind to actually participate in a video podcast. So if you want to actually watch us chatting, you can go to the show notes of this episode, which is reallifeglobal.com/EmmaEnglish. There you're going to see the video. You can watch the video on YouTube from that page. And even on YouTube, you can turn on the auto-generated subtitles. It's not 100% accurate, but it's pretty good. It's going to help you a lot if you have a lot of trouble understanding most words that we're saying. So it's going to be a great experience for you guys. Also, if you want to take your English to the next level with our Real Life Radio Power Lessons, just go to reallifeglobal.com/RLR. Also, if you are enjoying that music you can hear in the background and thinking, hey, what is that? That, my friends, is it's actually a very famous song that's kind of stereotypical to Australia. It's called The Land Down Under. This is an acoustic version by Colin Hay. He's the original writer of this song. But this is actually also being recorded on a microphone called the Rode NT, which is the same as my new microphone. What you're listening to right now, my voice, is recorded on the same microphone as this song. Unfortunately, I got this microphone after we recorded this podcast with Emma, so the audio quality isn't as good, but it's pretty awesome too. And if you stick around to the end of this podcast, you're going to hear the whole song without me speaking over the top. Pretty cool song, pretty catchy. A lot of Australians really enjoy it. Okay, guys, so let's move on to today's awesome Real Life Radio lesson with our special guest, Emma from English. Oh, yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Ken again, aw yeah?
Oh yeah! We live?
We're live.
Oh yeah, we're live.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Chad here from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, or
superpowered,
or
exciting
way to learn English. So download this podcast or this video podcast and listen to us while you're stuck in traffic, walking the dog, having your lunch,
shoveling snow,
riding a kangaroo.
Riding a kangaroo. Or what did you say, Ethan?
Shoveling snow.
Awesome. So I'm joined here today in the virtual studio with, first of all, Mr. V himself. Ethan, how you doing, man?
Oh, yeah. Doing pretty well. Trying to stay warm here.
Okay. Hence the show, snow shoveling.
Hence the snow shoveling.
And today we have a very special guest. A fellow countryman or countrywoman of mine. We have Emma Jacoby originally from Melbourne, am I right?
Originally from Melbourne, yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey, it's not oh yeah, it's oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Cool, well, it's awesome having you on our podcast today, a video podcast, and Emma is from English.
That's it, yeah. English.
Is that the correct? Okay, awesome. Awesome.
You can say it any way you like, actually.
Okay.
You said so maybe it's kind of like.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, go on.
It all started because I started making videos about cooking. So originally it was like, English. And it's kind of, you know, evolved a little bit now. You know, there's so many different ways that you can say in English, right? So it can come out in any way you like, however you're feeling.
And your so let's get down to what English is all about. You mentioned it was cooking English, but maybe to just get the podcast rolling, you could quickly summarize a little bit about your channel, about yourself, what you're doing, in case that people haven't heard of your channel or your website before.
Yeah, sure. It's I make a lot of videos online, so I YouTube videos and lessons that originally were about cooking, and I was teaching English and trying to find a way to make learning English, you know, more interesting and more fun, and kind of focusing on a specific topic which I love, which is food and eating, and I know that lots of other people do enjoy that too. So that was the original idea behind the channel. Since then, it's kind of developed a bit more, and I have a lot of you know, pronunciation videos, confidence and speaking practice videos, and things like that. So lots of my lessons are focused on you know, actually speaking and actually having conversations in English.
Do you teach Aussie English as well? You help people to develop their Aussie accent?
I've got a couple of videos about Australian slang, and I also use, you know, rope in other people, other friends, Australians who, you know, probably have a little bit more of an Australian accent than I do. So there's lots of opportunity to practice Australian accents and to practice listening to Australian accents too, which is where most of the challenge lies.
Have you gotten any bogans on your videos?
You know, I haven't. And if there are any out there who would be interested in making a video with me, I think that could be great content.
So just to stop you there quickly, you said you want to rope in, I think you use that term, to rope in some of your friends to help you out. So maybe explain, what does rope in mean, and what is a bogan?
I knew you were going to ask that. So if you rope someone into something, it means that you... You try and convince them to do it, or you get them to do it even though they probably don't want to. So you try and involve them that way. So if you rope in your friends, it means that you're asking them to do a favor for you.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a cowboy, how he has his lasso, and he's like,
like a lasso.
This is great with the video podcast, and we can actually show actions and stuff.
People can see you when you're sitting there going like, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys say lasso?
Yeah, we say lasso.
Yeah.
I would say a lasso. Well,
you're lying, right?
I've never heard that before.
A lasso.
Okay.
I'm from the Wild Wild West, so, you know, it's right.
Well, you'd be the one to... Maybe we should change what we say.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you ever lasso a bogan?
Could you do that? Do you have those skills? Could you actually lasso a bogan?
Not yet, but I'm going to make that a life goal.
I think so. Now, a bogan is kind of a little bit difficult to explain without being a little bit politically incorrect. A little bit offensive. But usually it is someone who maybe comes from the country, or maybe a little bit less educated than people who sort of live in the cities and go to universities and that kind of thing. They are very kind of casual and laid back and relaxed. They are the masters of Australian slang. And so in Australia, it's the kind of word that we probably use instead of Chad. You might use redneck maybe, or something like that.
I would use redneck.
It's kind of equivalent, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's like the Australian version of a a country hick, or yeah, a redneck, I think is a good term. Yeah. We've explained redneck many times on this podcast. I'm sure people understand what that is.
Yeah. We also use like a lot in the States. Maybe an equivalent would be like white trash or trailer trash.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like a not very correct term.
That one exactly, does sound quite offensive, though, calling someone harsh, trash. Yeah. You know, white trash, it's kind of harsh. You're right.
It's not a compliment.
No.
Well, yeah, no. Neither is a bogan, really. So, so mind you, some people might wear that hat with pride, but...
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by wear that hat?
Own that kind of role or label. You know, you often use that term when you, you know, you have a job where you have to do lots of different tasks and, you know, you might have to be the accountant one day. So you put the accounts hat on and then the next day you're managing staff. So you put your managerial hat on and then, you know, the next day you might be doing a presentation. So you have to put your, you know, like superpowered manager hat on or something. So it's changing
it's,
hats.
It's Friday afternoon. You have to put on your party hat.
That's the one, yeah.
Well, the bogans have that party hat on all the time. It's party at the, what is it? Business at the front, party at the back?
It's a mullet, right?
It's a mullet.
Yeah, mullet.
Yeah. That's, you know, we're talking about a type of a hairstyle that's very common among bogans and white trash, right?
Yes. Yeah.
The infamous mullet. I've actually spotted a few mullets since coming back to Australia. So that was quite a cultural experience.
Do you know, I feel like they're kind of coming back into fashion at the moment. I feel like it's a scary prospect that they might be more on the scene.
Mm-hmm. Never thought about going the mullet yourself.
Not recently. I did have one when I was about 2.5 and or 3 years old. So there's evidence.
you have like any photos of that we could put on the show notes page?
I've got heaps of photos of that, but you won't be getting any of them.
Excellent. I think even the last comment about a mullet, and then we can move on to some of the real stuff. I heard that... A female mullet is called a fullet.
Oh, I don't know whether I've ever heard of that. I've heard of I've heard of a frullet, which is like a front mullet. but I don't know about a female mullet.
So a frullet would be like long in the front and short in the back?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Hard to imagine.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on to some real English learning, powerful stuff. We're going to take advantage that Emma is here today and kind of like pick your brain a little bit, because you mentioned you started off with cooking English, and then now it seems like you've kind of transitioned and you're focused a lot on like building confidence, helping learners, I guess, feel more confident when they're speaking. That's something that we're also very interested in doing, like from our own like language learning experiences and like working with lots of students from all over the world. We do notice that confidence is one of the biggest barriers to actually just grabbing the bull by the horns, you know, and actually just speaking and not feeling scared, you know. So would you like to maybe just, I don't know, tell us a little bit about your teaching methodology, what you do with students, how you build confidence, and maybe why that's really important?
Oh, yeah, there's like 20 questions in one there, but okay. I'll start with
the confidence thing.
I'll start with confidence. Let's start there, huh?
Okay.
So I think that that, you know, there's so much opportunity to learn English online, and you know, in recent years, it's become like this, you know, amazing phenomenon where you know, you're actually in control of your own learning. You can choose, you know, who your teacher is. You know, from all of the teachers out there, you can choose the one that works for you. You can choose the style and their methodology that works for you. You can choose where you study and how you study and, you know, all of those things create so much more opportunity for success when learning a language. And I think that that provides so much opportunity. But the last thing that students really need, or the students that sort of gravitate towards me, is, you know, more grammar and more vocabulary to learn and to try and memorize. What I offer my students is, you know, a place where there's opportunity to practice it and to use what they already have and to use that as a kind of base to grow from. Because I think that, you know, one of the things that I hear so often from all of my students, and I'm sure that you guys hear this as well all the time, is that, you know, how can I improve my grammar and how can I improve my vocabulary and what can I do? And my answer is, you know, it's always about putting it into practice. It's not about, you know, memorizing or learning or taking on more information. It's about using and becoming comfortable with what you've got and building it through real conversation and real practice. And so that's kind of, that's the space that I fill with English. So I give those opportunities to students by practicing in groups and by, you know, starting to find or to create spaces online in particular that are kind of safe for this type of practice. You know, the online world is a big space, but there's also so many sort of niches and opportunities to find groups of people or teachers who are really interested in and have similar goals and objectives to you. So I think that's kind of where English sort of tries to fit in, is to fill some of those gaps and give those opportunities for students to practice.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of mentioned there that a lot of people ask about grammar. So for you, what role would you say that grammar should play in people's learning English?
So I think I'm of the opinion that once students reach the sort of intermediate level of English, they have enough understanding and enough ability to communicate using grammar. It might not be perfect. It might not be, it's not 100% accurate, but you can communicate your message. And what that does is it opens a door for you and you can start speaking to people, having conversations, meeting people, talking about new topics. And through that opportunity, you know, you're building listening skills and you're building your vocabulary. You're learning new words. You're trying new words. You're pulling old words that are, you know, somewhere in the back of your head right to the front again and kind of reigniting some of the things that you might have learnt right back in school. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to grammar and vocabulary, I'm, you know, a big supporter of once you reach that intermediate level where communication is possible, it's still awkward and uncomfortable, but it's possible. That's the point where going into practice, you know, is what's going to really give you the advantage and to take your English to the next level.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's like when you hit that, I guess like when you first start learning all the grammar, like if you get overloaded with grammar at the beginning, it can be like a little overwhelming because there's so many like rules and restrictions. And I think if you just have that, like you mentioned, a safe ground, when you say safe in that case, I guess you mean everyone's there to help you out. No one's really kind of like judging you, or no one's really going to worry if you say something wrong. So you feel very...
Exactly. There's no threat. There's no threat to you to, you know, what the space that I try and create online is a space where mistakes are okay, and in fact they're necessary, and they're actually the really exciting part about learning a language. Mm-hmm. Is when you're in that space, you know, and you're in a live conversation, and you don't know where it's going or, you know, what's going to happen next. So, of course, everything is alert. You know, you're listening, you're watching, you're looking for any clues that are going to help you to, you know, be successful. people and to say the right thing next. And so being in that space in the first instance is just the optimum space for learning, you know, the best possible space to be. It's not like sitting back cruising, watching a couple of YouTube videos and just, you know, hanging out, thinking you're learning a couple of new words. That's true. But, you know, being in that space, that discomfort is what really heightens all of your senses and lets you to take on new information and try out new things. And I think that that, that safe place is really important for that, because it's so easy to just be cut down by a lack of confidence. You know, confidence is a, sorry if I'm talking a lot here, but confidence is like a, you know, it's a really strange thing, because sometimes you have heaps of it. You've got so much of it. And then at other times, like in a split second, you can lose it completely and you don't have it. And it's this like mental kind of game to convince yourself or to bring yourself back into a place of confidence. And the easiest option when you lose confidence or you realize that you make a mistake is to just let go and kind of, you know, find a way to get away from that situation. And the difficult thing is to, you know, to keep going and to, you know, accept that you've made a mistake. I think that with, you know, when you're talking about mistakes and learning from them, I think this is a really important part of taking your English to the next level. It's about identifying the areas that you're, you know, you're not getting things right and moving forward. So if you're in a conversation with someone and, you know, they say something that, you know, a word that you don't understand, you've got the opportunity to find out what it is in that moment, in that context, and understand it. Then you've also got an opportunity to, you know, ask for more information if you need it. If someone isn't, if you're not being clear and what you're saying is, you know, it's not clear, then someone else is going to ask you to clarify it, and you're going to know that there's a, you need to find a better way to explain this idea. So there's so many different things that are happening and that can come out of, you know, mistakes in conversations.
Yeah, sure. that was a really, I think just there and what you just said now, you just covered a lot of different areas, but they're all kind of like interlinked in some ways, in many ways, which is awesome. Like a lot of the stuff we talk about too. One thing that you said there, which one of many, was this whole idea about when you're put into that situation where I guess maybe you kind of, we use the term a lot to like get out of your comfort zone, you know, when you're out of that comfort zone and you're really kind of struggling to put phrases together. It's interesting how you said it seems like your senses start to like focus a little bit more and you get into this kind of, you know, the kind of like survival mode, you know, it's like, it's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the fight or flight, that's it. And you get into like this flow. I realized I had this a lot when I was, for example, when I first moved to Brazil. And at the end of the day, or maybe not even at the end of the day, towards the late afternoon, I was just like exhausted because I felt like my brain was just like processing all the information like totally different. And it's quite taxing on, it's kind of like how you would go to the gym and like work your body. It's like working your mind, you know, and you get like really tired too.
So even like your mouth sometimes from like making so many different sounds that you're not used to making. If you're just like having a hours of conversation, it starts to kind of take a toll on your oral muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, literally. I have quite a few students who we actually do training, like warm-ups for your jaw, your tongue, your cheeks, everything, because, you know, often when, you know, you're speaking a different language to the one that you're used to, you're actually using completely different parts of, you know, your mouth or your tongue that you wouldn't use normally.
Do you have any videos showing that we could link to?
I don't actually. I do that in my private lessons, and
okay. premium
they're
content.
Not the most flattering ones, actually. It's premium content, you're right.
Along with the photos with the mullet.
But yeah, yeah. For an extra fee, I could do the exercises in a mullet.
But
I imagine that would really help you remember.
What was I going to say now? I'm just thinking about mullets. what I was going to say about that whole thing about focusing really hard and then getting quite tired, I think that's I guess the advice I would give is don't fall into the trap, because sometimes you're speaking like really well and like, man, my English is like perfect right now. But then like an hour later, you just like, you can't say anything. And I think it's because you're slowly fatiguing yourself and then it starts to get harder and harder. But I think if you go through that zone where you, like you said, to take it up a level, I think was the term you used.
Yeah.
You're probably going to come down a little bit too, but just to chill out and not worry so much about those kind of down times where you feel like it's really hard to talk, you know?
Yeah.
What you were saying about confidence and about your classes, how do you organize that? I mean, do you have students conversing with other students, or are you conversing with them the whole time? How does that flow kind of work with their practicing, their speaking?
So I have a few different courses that I run, and so the one that I'll talk about now is a conversation confidence kind of course, and so it's the most relevant one here. But it's a group training course. So the first thing is that everyone is connected or comes together through a Facebook group. And so as soon as anyone starts, and there's students from all over the world, you know, we connect together in the Facebook group. And one of the first tasks that that I get students to do is to make a short video of themselves and post it into the group to share it with everyone. And this is, you know, often a really challenging thing to do. When I started making videos, and I don't know about you guys, when I first started making videos and posting them online, it was one of the scariest things that I've ever done in my life. Oh, is, yeah. You know, like putting yourself out there when you're not used to it, and, you know, suddenly anyone can see it, and, you know, you've got nowhere to hide. And so this idea of, you know, creating your own video to introduce yourself, it breaks down the first row of bricks on the wall, you know, like it just introduces you to the other people in the group, and you get to meet a few of the other people. But it's not as confronting as, you know, being put in front of each other on a screen and having to talk to each other. You're just learning a little bit more about the person. You listen to what their voice sounds like. You can see what they look like. You hear a bit about what they're interested in, you know. So that's the first step. And then, you know, progressively there's a little bit more and a little bit more. And it will get to the point where students will be speaking together. And then we have group conversations where all of us come together, and one-on-one conversations with native speakers as well. So it's like a progression. So if you come into the course, you know, without a lot of confidence speaking English, I should say that the course is designed for students who have a intermediate kind of level. So they have, you know, they can pull sentences together and express themselves, you know, but perhaps their confidence is what's holding them back from leveling up or taking themselves to the next level. Mm-hmm. So slowly, you know, coming. Oh, you go.
No, I was just gonna say, I guess that's the perfect point where they're kind of slowly growing with all the grammar and more of the structural stuff. And when they hit that stage, it's the best way to just kind of explode and really, really get a lot better through the practice.
Yeah, and you know, that's the biggest hurdle, I guess, is because at that point when you kind of hit that hurdle, you have a choice, right? You can either take a bit of a leap into a space where you feel a bit uncomfortable and you have to start using your English and speaking with people and practicing that way, or you can kind of, you know, choose to not do that. And that's, you know, not where anyone wants to be, and what I like to do is just try and help people over that you know, push over that hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess, you know, exposing yourself and kind of challenging yourself that way means that you've got the opportunity to prove to yourself that you can. And I think I had written down, because I know you guys do a couple of, you usually have like a quotes thing at the start of your podcast. So the one that I always think about when I'm, you know, talking to my students is one by Van Gogh, the artist, Vincent Van Gogh. And so he says, if you hear a voice within you say that you can't paint, then by all means, paint, and that voice will be silenced. And I think that it is the perfect, perfect way to kind of get over that hurdle or that challenge, where the easy option is to say, oh, no, I can't do it, or, you know, my vocabulary is so bad, or my grammar is so bad, I can't, you know, do it. It's going to be too embarrassing. But, you know, as awkward and as uncomfortable as it's going to feel, just trying it instantly is going to prove to yourself that you can do it. Highlight any of the problems that you need to fix for the next time that you do it, and, you know, make the next time a hell of a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, because I think if you don't do that, if you don't, like, pass that, there's like a threshold, the right word, threshold. Where it's like if you don't get to that, you just be stagnant and you don't really grow at all. I think you need to look for those hurdles and look for those pain points, those parts where you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And like, that's where you should be going, because that's more like it's kind of like your guiding star. You know, if you follow those things that make you feel uncomfortable or make you feel less confident, that's probably a sign that's probably what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
That's true of anything in life, right?
Yeah, a lot of this, you know, this whole conversation about confidence is not specific to English at all. It's, you know, to varying degrees, we all have confidence issues. For the three of us, you know, usually speaking English is not really a challenge. But, you know, there's other things in life when you have to do a huge presentation at university or, you know, at work or something like that, where you have to put yourself in a position where you feel uncomfortable, and there's a risk that, you know, you might not be able to do it, but you do everything that you can to succeed and to do it well. And I think, you know, all of these lessons that we're talking about now can be applied across life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This
for
is
sure.
a life lesson.
Excellent. So did you have any more questions, Ethan?
Related yeah, I was going to gonna ask
we
like
can quickly,
tangent off, as we like to do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I was going to ask, since we're talking about confidence, and maybe some people are listening have a class or they're considering getting classes, or they don't have a class for whatever reason, what are things that people can do anyway outside of class to increase their confidence? Like, do you have any habits or routines that you suggest people take on?
yeah, I love this topic. I could talk about it for hours, but I've got probably three key things that that I like to sort of talk about. Probably more tips and ways, I guess, good habits to get into. And the first one is to surround yourself with the right kind of people. The second one is about preparation, and the third one is about small wins or setting goals that are really achievable and being kind to yourself. And so I'll go through each of them in a little bit of detail because they take a bit of explaining. But the first one is, you know, when I talk about surrounding yourself with the right kind of people, it's and this is another life lesson. It's not just about English, but it applies to English. If you know, you surround yourself with people who encourage you, who support you, who motivate you, and who inspire you to do the things that you are trying to do, then your chances of succeeding increase tenfold, you know, like, or the chances of you succeeding are so much higher. Because if you're around people who are, you know, proactive and they're also searching for the same goals, or, you know, trying to achieve the same things, you know, you can motivate each other and inspire each other to keep going. You make each other accountable as well. So, you know, if you think about when you start an English course, you start at the same level as someone, but your friend or your partner is, you know, quite diligent, and they're working, you know, doing a lot of homework, or, you know, work outside of the classroom to keep improving, and you notice that they're improving faster than you, then you probably are going to try and keep up with them. You're going to work harder to keep up with them. And surrounding yourself with those type of people is part of the strategy to improve. I think it's kind of a bit of a saying going around in circles now that, you know, you're the sum of the five closest people to you. And I think that that's really true in the way that you learn English as well. So that's and that's part of what I sort of look into it, or what I focus on with Minglish. It's around providing the space for those people to connect. And if you think about, you know, all of the different English niches online, you know, you can find almost anything. It's you know, there's groups of people who are high-level advanced English learners who are professionals and trying to, you know, seek really great job opportunities. And there are also, you know, people who are interested in cooking, or there's people who have English book clubs, you know, and things like that. Connecting yourself with the type of person or the group of people that has similar interests, similar aims, and similar goals as you is going to motivate you, you know, to keep studying and to keep trying, to keep practicing. So I have a group of my own that's for women, actually. It's a Facebook group that is for women learning English. And it's a kind of a unique sort of space, because when it comes to confidence, women have kind of different confidence issues when they're speaking English to men. And so, you know, that's kind of a little niche space that I work in. And, you know, those opportunities to kind of connect in those groups. So my group is full of women who are, you know, very nervous about meeting people online and feeling uncomfortable. And, you know, through practice activities and ways to connect with each other, they build their confidence together. And I think that's a really important thing for people who lack, you know, confidence speaking English. Finding groups like that is really going to help you to level up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you guys think about that one.
No, I think that's awesome. Great. I think that's great. Yeah.
Community cool. is crucial.
Yeah,
community,
I mean,
and
kind
also
of...
the female aspect of it, I think, is great, just because you're giving them a specific area where it's like just giving them that little extra edge of feeling comfortable, because there are, unfortunately, a lot of crazy people online.
Sure. Exactly. And that's exactly why I started that group. We don't have to go into detail about that. But, you know, that's the fact. The fact is also, you know, that, you know, certain cultures and, you know, even religions, you know, it's not always okay for mixed kind of groups and things like that, you know. So there's lots of different little niches that it fills, I think. But there are so many groups like this out there, and you know, we all have our own sort of following, I guess, of particular people that are attracted to us because of that. And I think that finding those niches is a really key part of improving your English.
Mm-hmm.
The second one that I had was to the second kind of tip that I had is about preparation. And I think that preparing for conversations is one of the best things that you can do to boost confidence. That is not to, you know, think about every line in the conversation. You can't possibly anticipate how a conversation is going to go, but you can use the context of the conversation to really help you to think about what's going to happen, what could possibly be spoken about. You know, where are you? Who are you talking to? What's happening around you? When is it? All of these things, you know, help you to think about possible topics, maybe some certain vocabulary that you might need to brush up on, that kind of thing. Just preparing in that way, you know, gives you a little bit of support and a bit of backup, I guess, to make you feel a bit more confident, rather than just walking into a conversation and going, oh, I don't know, you know, I don't know what to say next. I don't know what this is all about. But, you know, they're really sort of simple strategies, but being aware of them and being proactive about them mm-hmm. is really going to help take the pressure off.
I guess that's a good thing that, for example, what you do with your closed group there in Facebook, when you get them to record a video, for example, introduce themselves and just talking a little bit, because that's something you do all the time. If you're going to be meeting people, you're always introducing yourself. So that part of your English generally develops much quicker than, for example, yeah. talking about what you did last weekend. It's probably the second thing yeah. you start developing. So I guess like having these little semi, like kind of loosely written scripts, it starts helping yeah. you feel a little bit more confident talking about stuff, because you've already kind of got most of the information ready to go kind of on the tip of your tongue.
Exactly. And it's yeah. also like, you know, lots of people have to use English primarily in a work context, or maybe they're speaking to customers and that kind of thing. So focusing, you know, on those particular situations where they're having to use English most is, you know, a huge part of the piece of the puzzle, I guess. There's no point learning a whole bunch of vocabulary about going to the beach if you're speaking to a customer about importing shoes from Siberia, or, you know, it's so irrelevant that you know, you think about that context and you kind of understand the possibilities around that context and work with that. And I think build from there. You know, you can learn beach vocabulary later when it's relevant, but, you know, for now, focus your energy on getting that part right, then build.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, so that was planning. Yeah, it was the prep, right? Number two is preparation. Planning yeah. and preparation.
So the third one is about being really action-oriented. And, you know, I touched on this before about, you know, one thing is to kind of sit back and watch a whole bunch of YouTube videos and, you know, try and absorb English that way. But being really proactive and taking action takes, for a lot of people who don't naturally have that confidence or that ability to just go, oh, do you know what, I'm just going to try it. It takes a bit of planning and a bit of preparation, but also, you need to be able to G yourself up, you know, like talk yourself up.
What did you say, G yourself up?
G yourself up, like motivate yourself, talk yourself into it.
Okay.
You know, get to the point where you...
Is that an expression or...?
I don't know, is it? I think it must be. Have you heard of it?
No.
I've never said that before in my life, no.
Oh, really?
Maybe
it's an Emma expression.
Yeah. G yourself up. I'm going to start using that.
G yourself up. Yeah, motivate yourself.
Okay.
You know, take a deep breath and just do it. If you, you know, think about it too long, you end up talking yourself out of it, right? You know, you stand there and there's always that amount of time that passes that is too long and you miss the opportunity and mm-hmm. you know, it's quite hard to kind of push yourself back into that energy space. But a good way to kind of be action-oriented and to focus on things that you can do is to have a small win strategy. So that's, you know, this idea of becoming fluent in English or becoming, improving, to a, you're an IELTS 6 and you want to get to IELTS 8. Like that's a year-long, two-year-long, three-year-long plan. But, we've got every day, you're trying to sort of move towards this goal. And if your goal is only to reach that number 8, then, it's a long road and there's not a lot of, comfortable spots to stop on the side of that road and just relax and take in the view. It's a long, hard road.
It's easy to give up.
Exactly. But if you change your perspective on that a little bit and you start thinking about a small win strategy, what can you do today or tomorrow or the next day or next week, it becomes easier to see your progress. And I think that that's one of the things that's really important for confidence, is to be able to prove to yourself that you are making progress and you are doing new things and trying new things. And having that sort of strategy in place is a great way to do it. So what I usually give to my students and what I've actually prepared for your listeners as well is a kind of a weekly plan that can help to strategize or to think of a strategy about your small wins for the week. And it could be, things like on Tuesday, I'm going to go to Starbucks and I'm going to order my coffee in English. I'm not going to use, my native language. I'm going to go specifically to Starbucks and I'm going to speak in English. I've never done it before, but I'm just going to set that goal for myself. And you do it. At the end of the week, if you have a couple of these goals, it might be introduce yourself, to a new online group and or even make a video of yourself and post it into a group that you already feel comfortable in. Little things like that you can keep track of and see that you've made progress. And one of my favorite things to do is to make sure that my students always reward themselves for that, because it's too easy to just kind of push everything to the side and say, that's done. But if you've got something like a bike ride or a going out with friends to celebrate or something like that, at the end of the week or at the end of the month, it helps to motivate you and to encourage you to keep improving.
I was just going to say, I've heard of something similar to this, people who are trying to start a routine, for example, running, giving themselves a reward after doing the run, like a little piece of chocolate or something. So it's if you, even something small, you reserve yourself some sort of treat or some sort of little satisfaction that you have.
Yeah.
That you can eat after that, then it's kind of, it actually, there's something in your brain that it programs you to associate those two. So then eventually you don't even need the chocolate or the reward or whatever, and you're just motivated to do that thing. It becomes a habit.
You're talking my language. You're talking my language. I'm motivated by food. So. Any sort of treat.
English.
Exactly. Oh yeah,
nice. One last thing I was going to say, just about that topic of treating yourself and celebrating, that's going to be even better if you have those five people, however many people you're actually doing it with. You mentioned at the start, it's better to have people that hold you accountable and support you and have similar goals as you. So if you're all celebrating together, that probably makes it even more powerful, that whole idea of celebrating the small wins, right?
Yeah, that group mentality is so good for keeping you focused on the goal and, keeping you moving forward. Because if you're doing it on your own and you've got this goal that in your head you've set, it's so easy to just, if you don't actually achieve it or you're too busy or, something happens and you get distracted, it's way too easy when it's just in your head to not say anything about it and not mention it to anyone. But, if you've got this friend or, this group of people who are saying, where's your video? Or did you do it? Did you ask them? What did they say? Yeah. And if you haven't done it, you know, you kind of feel a bit like, oh, they're expecting me to, and I wish that I did it now. So it's all of that kind of motivation that helps to keep you pushing towards that goal.
I think too, like on the other side of that, it's just kind of coming back to the reward of it. If you're actually learning maybe in a group or you're with other people that are speaking English with you constantly, when you're learning a language on your own, maybe you don't see yourself improving, but other people will actually say like, hey, your English is much better this week. And you're going to be like, oh, really? Like it's actually working. And so you get that sense of improvement, like we were talking about earlier, that maybe if you're learning on your own, it's going to feel more like you're an uphill battle.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's quite on. It's quite common. It's quite common for you know, we're so hard on ourselves, and we have such high expectations for ourselves that we often don't see that, or we refuse to see it. I know you guys must have the same thing, but I just get constant emails from students who are learning English saying, you know, my vocabulary is so bad and my grammar is so bad. And, you know, we have this tendency to tell ourselves these negative things, which, you know, and often they're not true, or, you know, they're not as bad as we make them out to be. And I think that, you know, having other people around you really help you to see past some of those kind of negative thoughts and negative aspects that, you know, it's difficult to work through on your own sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Definitely.
I guess that's the what I was going to add to that. It's like having, for example, even like working in a team or like, you know, studying in a team, it's the kind of thing that's going to make you stay up an extra hour so you actually do put in the work. Otherwise, you're just like, screw it, I'll just do it tomorrow, whatever kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, the expectation is there.
Yeah, for sure. Talking about expectation, we're going to have to wrap this podcast up because I have some friends waiting for me to go kayaking.
Oh, nice. Sounds pretty hardcore. Yeah. I thought you were going to say you're like expecting your breakfast of crumpets and Vegemite
and a
flat white.
I've had the Vegemite this morning. Yeah, we've all it's kind of for those listening, we have actually all come home for Christmas. So I'm in Australia, Ethan's in the US, and Emma, I'm not you're new to the podcast, so you're probably at your house, right?
But yeah, I am. I'm also in Australia. I'm in Melbourne though, the other side,
East Coast, West Coast.
She's East Coast. Yeah, we're like West Side and East Side, you know. Cribs and what's the other one called? Bloods and Cribs.
Yeah.
But
I have no idea
Emma,
what you guys are talking about.
Oh,
like American like, games.
Yeah, that's what I thought Bloods you were saying and when Cribs. You talked. Yeah. The West Side, East Side. They got the blue bandana and the red bandana.
Well, they do like the hand. That since we're on pod, video, can do like the West Side, East Side.
Yeah.
Got, I got that one. Yeah, I got in English over here.
Oh, nice. You gotta do like a couple, like, you know.
Yeah. You can do like yeah.
Yeah, you can do it too. This bit, guys. Anyone who's just listening to the podcast, you really need to watch the video to see this bit in action.
That's true.
And I guess just to wrap this up too, Emma, you mentioned this, but if you want to give a little bit more detail, you had a special gift to the people who are watching or listening to help them.
Yeah,
be more
I had
confident.
A worksheet that they can download. So it helps them to put a couple of the strategies that I talked about today into action. So I'm sure you guys are going to link to it under the on your webpage, but I'll give you my webpage as well. It's English/ real life English.
And how many M's does have?
It's got three M's
English.
So it's English.com/real life English.
Yeah. I almost thought actually at first that was also hinting to you, like your name. If you were to say like your name really fast, like Emma, maybe like Emma English, English.
Yeah, there's lots of like coincidental kind of things going on there. You can make three M's work in lots of different contexts. In fact, there are two in my name, so that helps too.
I guess even for short, people sometimes call Emma like M. Hey, M. Does anybody call you M? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, heaps of people do in Australia.
There's that word again. Ethan is very fascinated by Australian English, and the word heaps of is very Aussie, right?
Yeah.
Super
Aussie. Heaps of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we say, like, sometimes people say, that's heaps good.
Yeah. So
I've even heard like that's heaps good, right? Pronounced hypes.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hypes.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a Queenslander, someone from Queensland, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find one for you.
Cool. And also, if you're going to see the... Bogan. What was I going to say? Okay. And also, if you're just listening and you're not on our website as well, go to Emma's link as well, which is English/Real Life English. Or this podcast and all the show notes for this episode will be at reallifeglobal/Emma English. No hyphen. Emma spelled EMMAENGLISH. So Emma, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast today. It was great having another Australian. We've had one Australian on the podcast before, but you're the first female Australian to be on the Real Life podcast. Yeah. And probably like the fourth female ever, something like that. You know, it's
really?
Yeah,
you guys are gonna up the ante there.
Yes.
We do. What does that mean?
The ante, how would you explain that? I guess it's to Can you not hear us?
It's quite fuzzy.
Oh, okay. I'll quickly explain the ante. The ante just means to increase the level, I guess. Increase the
It's like to increase a bet, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm betting. To put more money down, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're going to try to up the ante very soon and have more female guests. But Emma, thank you so much for joining us. And definitely big send all our – go check out some of Emma's videos on YouTube, whether you like cooking or you're interested in improving your confidence in English. It's really great stuff. So just to finish off as well, can we get a group "Aw Yeah" just before we hit stop on the recording? After three. 1, 2, 3.
Aw Yeah! Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
It's been fun.
Traveling in a fried out combi. A hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. She said, "Do you come from a land down under? Women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. From a man in Brussels. He was 6'4", full of muscle. I said, "Do you speak my language, brother?" He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. He said, "I come from a land down under, where beers flow and men shunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover." Lying in a den in Bombay, with a slack jaw, not a lot to say. I said to the man, are you trying to tempt me? Because I come from the land of plenty. He said, oh, you come from a land down under. Oh yeah, yeah. Women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear that thunder? You better run, you better take and cover. Cause we are living in a land down under. Women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take and cover.